The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. 11:40 on Wednesdays means Dave Archer joins the show. Arch, how are you?
What up, Dave?
Those are hard on you, man. Those Marlboros with no filter in them, man. You get secondhand smoke off that, you're a lot of problems.
Yeah. I think my voice is so deep, you know? You got a radio voice.
Well, you got to draw. If you got an air guitar to a little Boston, like Don't Look Back, you obviously got to have that beer bottle down there where you're picking that beer bottle a little bit. I know Randy can do that.
Dude, hey, man. You know, our parents, they didn't, you know, we didn't have the most safety measures back in those days.
Yeah, it was a hope and a prayer.
I love it.
Let's talk a bit about the Saints game, and then we'll start moving forward to the Broncos game coming up on Sunday. After the game, I heard some folks talking about flat, other folks saying it wasn't. How did you see it? Did they come out flat, or was it just something else that didn't click early in that football game?
Yeah, I think you missed on a couple plays, Andy, in the game. I think that, flat is a relative term. I guess that means you're not, there's attention to detail or lack of attention to detail. I don't think that was the case at all. I thought that, you know, Ray makes a really good play on the first third down play. Kirk throws him into a window. Ray makes a big time grab to extend the drive there, your opening drive. And then you've got a fake screen. You got Drake up the sideline on third down. Yep. If Drake gets that other foot down, are we talking about him starting slow? That may be a play that leads him to a touchdown.
Right.
But defensively, I do feel like they came out and it seems like this has kind of been an MO for them. They try to adjust to what they're seeing in the first quarter. Because the Saints had like 57 yards or something like that in the first quarter. I think a lot of it's rushing. And they don't do anything pretty much after. And a couple of big plays, but after that, they didn't do anything. So, that's what I saw early on. But, you know, these games are going to come down to a few points. You guys know they're generally one-score games.
Yep.
And if you don't cash in your opportunities, you're going to lose.
Dave, what did you see as far as the adjustments that they did make in that second half for them to get five of their six drives with three and outs and everything, got the offense the ball back? What did you see them adjust to as far as did they play more too high, more blitzing? How did they, get the Saints off the field?
Yeah, I thought they came after him a little more, Randy. I thought that there was a little bit more pressure involved. I thought there was a little bit tighter coverage, more contested stuff. I think they adjusted to what the Saints were going to try to do. Because remember, you're coming into the game and you're not really sure, okay, Olave's out of the game, Rashid Shaheed's out of the game. You know, what's their attack going to be? And they ultimately didn't really change a whole bunch. And so I think Atlanta just got back to, trying to defend them, hug up tighter in coverage, and then really – recommit to fitting against the run. Because you gave one play up in the second half. It was a three-count screen to Kamara, right, where right. Troy Anderson's out in the flat. It looked like Troy might have hurt himself again on the play, but they gave up 31 yards on that play. New Orleans had 100 yards total in the second half. So, yep. You know, you certainly shut stuff down.
I don't know how much you can speak to, like, the technique of kicking that's going into young league, probably not. But you've certainly been around kickers that have been on heaters and kickers that maybe go through cold spots. Like, what goes into making sure that Young Wei Koo gets back to his former self as quickly as possible?
Yeah, it's a good question, Andy. It's a mental thing to a certain extent. Obviously, there's technique attached to it. He's got a very quirky way of setting up his way of setting up. You almost think that, okay, he gets in good position, and then he cocks himself back maybe two head up, you know, and that's why he loses some to the left. Now, obviously, the last one he lost, looked like he got a gust of wind that actually pushed it right, which was really weird. But he'll figure it out. I mean, it's the same guy that in week four kicked a 58-yarder to beat the same team. So I think you got to give him a little bit of leeway. Quarterbacks throw interceptions. Kickers miss some kicks from time to time. I know there's a trend here that people are talking about with him over the last three or four games where he's struggled a little bit. He's missed some kicks that he hadn't normally missed. I think he's a mentally tough dude. I think you just continue to reinforce him positively, remind him about the play kick he's made. And I see Youngway at practice. I'll see him today out here. He'll be set up. He'll have the camera set up on him, and he'll be looking at how he's setting up and trying to work on his technique. So, believe me, he'll turn over every rock to make sure he gets it dialed back in.
Dave, Bijan was outstanding Sunday. Just, I mean, catching and, you know, running the football. Do you get to a point where you don't want all that? Because he's gonna run the ball maybe 16, 17 times, but you're going to throw it to him at least seven. Is there a point where you like maybe want to cut back and give Tyler maybe some more carries? Or because he's Bijan, you want to give him the ball as much as possible?
Well, I think that it's a double-edged sword, isn't it, Randy? He's a guy that's making plays for you, and you got to go win games. So you need to do in real time what you need to do to win this game. But you also got to begin to look at big picture. How many times do we want him to touch the ball? So in week 17, we got the same guy we got week 8, right? Week 9. So that's a real tough one to negotiate. I think that they're trying to negotiate that. I think we saw Tyler get a few more carries in this game, take a little bit of the load off Bijan. But, man, he's so dynamic. He's I don't know, you guys are just looking at all the guys, too. He's got to be one of the three or four or five most dynamic players at the running back position in the game.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Falcons, getting ready for the upcoming matchup on Sunday against the Broncos. Bo Nix is playing better, Arch. He's gotten much more efficient as the season has gone on. What have you seen from him getting ready for this one on Sunday that the Falcons are going to have to try to stop?
Yeah, you're right. And his comfort zone is getting better, and that's the way it is for a young quarterback. The more you get a chance to play, the more things you see, the more things that are repetitive, and now all of a sudden you're adjusting to them with your physical skills as opposed to having to think through it. I think he's getting to some of those points. I think the thing that bothers me most about him is, and I know you guys have talked about it, is his ability to create things out of the pocket. And over the years, those kind of quarterbacks have caused us problems. We haven't seen a lot of that here this year, and so you've got a guy that's going to come in that sometimes he just takes off because he doesn't recognize what he sees, and because he's so athletic, he can do that. So that's the part that I think concerns you the most. I think if you keep him somewhat hemmed in, they're not running the ball great. They haven't been that dynamic offensively,
right. Mm-hmm.
But you're right. He has gotten more and more comfortable as the season's gone along. He's gotten more comfortable with what Sean's calling for him. I think Sean's gotten comfortable with what he needs to call for him. So, and that's a natural progression for a young quarterback as you kind of settle in. And as you begin to think about the young quarterbacks that got drafted, what, we have six in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
This guy might be playing the best of any of the first-round quarterbacks.
Dave, what about the defense? I know coming to this season, I know – a lot of people just knew the Lil Pat Sertan and who else was out there. But, Dave, they're one of the better defenses in football. What do they do as far as scheme-wise that could give the Falcons issues?
Well, they try to make you one-dimensional, certainly. They've been pretty good against the run game. Now, they did get run over by Baltimore in the second half of that game. If you go back 2 weeks ago, they got beat 41-10 by the Ravens. And you think, oh, well, Lamar had 4 yards rushing in the game. So they mauled him in the run game in the second half. They had over 100 yards rushing against Denver in the second half of that game. Now, Kansas City was limited, but that's not what Kansas City does, running the football. So I don't really use that as a measuring stick. I look at a team that's a little bit more like us that invests in the run game, and that would have to be 2 weeks ago when Baltimore got after him in the run game. Henry had 120 yards rushing, and 100 of that came in the second half. But the thing they're doing the best, to me, is they're, when you get to the red zone, they shut you down. They're the top three or four teams in the league, again, the red zone. Last weekend, Kansas City got down there 4 times, got one score. They scored 1 touchdown. And that's something that plagued Atlanta this last weekend. You had 3 attempts in the red zone. You only scored 1 touchdown. So you've got to be able to finish drives. I think you're going to move the ball against them. Now, they're sacking the quarterback. I think they got 35 sacks. They got 4 guys that have 5-plus sacks. So if you get in, you know, situations where they know you're throwing the ball, it could be a long day. So Zach Robinson will have to have one of his better games as far as keeping them off balance with the run game and maybe throwing the ball on first down against them to keep them off balance.
Good info, Arch. As always, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Great to talk to you guys. Randy, it'll be okay. George is going to be okay.
Thank you, Dave. That helps out a lot today. Thank you.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons radio network analyst, former quarterback.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.